Well, hi everyone. If you own a small business, have you thought about your end game yet? I meet a lot of business owners that haven't really made the plans or the course for exiting the business. And that's a big event that many people forget to think about. And today on this episode, we're going to talk about that. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense with your host, Doug Thorpe. Here's Doug.
Well, hello again, everyone. This is Leadership Powered by Common Sense. I am your host, Doug Thorpe. And today we're going to be diving into the back end of a business, so to speak. And what I mean by that is the exit strategy. I meet a lot of business owners who haven't necessarily planned for that or thought about what that's going to look like, or perhaps they've even set up the business to operate in a way that may not maximize the value when things are done. I'm getting an internet message here. I'm going to have to probably edit that out, but that's okay.
I lost you for a second. Sorry about that.
Yeah. We may have to chop this a little bit and we can clean it up in the edit. That'll be fine. But
sure.
Are you on a phone? Is that what you're using right now?
No, I'm laptop? On Wi-Fi. Yeah, I'm on a laptop and Wi-Fi.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Well, that'll be fine. We'll get it figured out.
Good. So, anyway. Good.
My guest today is Tracy Gunn. She is an expert in this part of business. So, Tracy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. So I always like to ask my guests to kind of give a little bit of a backstory first, kind of share with folks some of your experience and what your journey was like to get to where you are right now.
Well, that sounds awesome. So I have been a serial entrepreneur for 17 years. And about 2019, I was running two restaurants and two candy stores myself. And I kind of hit the wall, like many business owners, right? We keep adding on, thinking we could do it. And I just was so burnt out. And I thought, gosh, I'm just going to sell. I'm just going to sell, get myself out of this. And I was not ready to sell. My broker told me my valuation was low, not really worth selling. And I had this reality check of, I always thought all of my businesses that someday I'll sell. And here he was, had to tell me, no, that's not actually going to happen. Now, obviously he has his own perspective, but it was a real wake up call for me. And it turns out this is a wake up call a lot of people go through. And the good news was for me is that, like most business owners, I pivot and adjust. After I cried a little bit, I put on my big girl pants and fixed it, right? And so I actually wound up finding a buyer for my restaurant within 3 months by implementing some changes and fixing some things. And so I, this is my passion project, excuse me. And so I am now like super excited to be sharing sharing my story with people so that they don't go through that moment with a broker when they are ready to sell, and that hopefully they'll hear this 2-3 years before that moment and they'll be ready and prepared.
Yeah, it's been my experience. I usually run into two kinds of business owners. There's the person that took a good idea or maybe even a hobby and turned it into a business. And they're very focused and very excited about expanding that and growing that, but they've never asked themselves the question, is there an end game here? Is there a target that I should be shooting for or something to do? Then the other kind is the person that has been an entrepreneur most of their life. I think of sole practitioners like veterinarians or other advisor type people, accountants, you know you're doing good work and you've got a good customer base. They're solid. But when you start talking about you personally exiting the business, you are the value of the business, and
correct,
that's not marketable.
No. And I mean, one of the things we do when we talk to business owners is you think, oh gosh, well, if you disappeared for 6 weeks, let's just say it was for fun, not for something bad, what would happen? Would the business go up? Would it go down? Would it stay the same? And that's really a good, easy indicator of where are you in your business? How reliant is it on you? Are you the main driver, or are you just the after, kind of the person who steers but isn't making sure everything happens? And that was part for me, that was my big wake up call, was gosh, that's why I was so burnt out. I was running everything and overseeing everything, and I hadn't really thought of my end game. You know, most businesses are created with the intent of someday selling, but most of us are not thinking, well, what's the target, right? What are we aiming for? It's like if I decided to drive to California, but I never really put it in the GPS, right? I'm like, I know I'm heading that way, but with no plan, I could wind up, you know, in Tahoe versus LA. I mean, that's a pretty far distance. Like, and so you don't know. And I mean, ideally, when you start your business and you create a business plan, you really should have an exit plan in mind and adjust as you go. But that's not most of us. Most of us are really excited about what we're doing and our billion-dollar idea. It's going to be millions of dollars, and someday I won't have to work so hard, and someday it'll pay me back. And I mean, I want that for every business owner. And I think that most business owners can get, even solopreneurs can get there. They just have to figure out how to get themselves out of it and make it transferable. And it's doable. It's just, it takes some planning.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times it starts with the what I'll call the subject matter of what you're doing. And in your case, it was a restaurant. But you know, if you haven't figured out how to teach others to do that work, you can't exit, because you're the bottleneck, and you're right. You're the funnel that everything has to go through. And mm-hmm. that becomes a problem when you start talking about wanting to create valuation for an exit sale.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, I wasn't thinking about the big end game. I wasn't ready to retire necessarily. I just was burnt out. And really, you know, I had created that scenario and created some systems, but really like on paper. And I didn't really understand what it would take or what was involved in the selling / a buying process. And so even just understanding a little bit about that helps you really iron out the things that need to be cleared up, right? And so again, that's one of the things we do, is we help people like create an exit plan. It doesn't have to even be realistic, but have a plan in mind. And then let's see if we can get you closer to that, right? How much do you want to sell for? Who do you think might buy it? When do you think you want to sell? What do you want to sell? You know, do you want to sell your real estate if it's included? Do you want to sell to maybe your employees? There's a new term that's going around that I love. It's like, you know, you've probably heard of acquire hire, right? Where you buy a business that has the skills you need instead of hiring someone to do that. And you can add that onto your core business. But now people are even talking about acquire retire. So like they're having people buy in so they can retire, but they retain some ownership and they let them earn in. And there's a lot of different ways you can get there. It's just a matter of figuring out where you want to go. And again, a little bit of education helps clear up so much of the confusion about. And for me, I feel like this is a topic that's looming and coming. You know, let's talk about the statistics of in the next 5 years, 10 to 12 million small business owners are going to retire. I mean, they've pushed it to the limit, right? All the boomers, they're ready. And they're either going to sell or they're going to liquidate, but they are going to retire. And those 10 to 12 million businesses, I mean, if the current statistics stand, you know, up to 90% do not sell. Well, what happens to those businesses? What happens to those employees? You know, there's a lot, it's like this looming problem that's coming, tidal wave that nobody's really talking about. And the only people who really are clued into it are people who've tried to do it, right? And hit the wall. And so I think it's a ripe conversation. And I think more and more, we're going to see people becoming more aware, talking more about it. And it will be really interesting to see how businesses are bought and how it's done changes and evolves over the next few years.
I'm amazed. Your comment about your business, that you had a broker show up, he gave you his own estimation of valuation. It wasn't what you wanted, and or he said it wasn't even saleable, right? But you were able to identify some things and turn that around in just 3 months. That's pretty impressive. Can you share what some of those things were that you attacked?
Sure, absolutely. Time? It's all part. Yeah, I mean, you know, so for me, once I started with for myself of, okay, what is he not seeing that I see? That's where I started, right? And now you have to think a broker, he has one mission in mind, is that he wants to make his commission. He wants something that's sellable, that's going to be worth his time and his money and work out, right? And so that is his, that's his end game, okay? So there was some profitability there. I had a like $700,000 worth of revenue. So it wasn't a huge income company. Like I didn't have huge profitability, but I had some. I didn't have any debt. But what I did have was customers. I had loyal customers. I had some things. But so then I thought to myself, okay, what is he not seeing? So I identified some things. And then I thought, gosh, it's not transferable as it is, right? Like we talked about, I was running everything. So I thought, okay, what are some things I need to do to make it sellable or like look, you know, shiny it up, stage the house, so to say, right? Fix it, but also get my numbers up. So like one of the things that I identified was I did not have a liquor. It was a very big bar, like the bar sat 40. Liquor was most of our sales. We had live events, that kind of thing. It was a 6,500 square foot restaurant / bar. I didn't have an inventory control for alcohol. I didn't know how to do it. It just seemed really complicated to me. But I thought, gosh, what is one of my biggest expenses? Booze. I mean, this was my biggest moneymaker, but it was also one of my biggest expenses. So I actually wound up having a person on staff in my kitchen who used to run a bar. She knew how to implement it. So I gave her 5 extra hours a week. She set up a program that we taught multiple people to on how to maintain and keep track. And I found out 3 things. Number one, my main bartender who worked full-time was stealing a lot from me in a lot of different ways, right? Giving away, not charging, over pouring. But once we identified that and tracked that, my expenses went down, but my profitability went up, all because all of a sudden, right? So like all of a sudden my business was worth more that month than it was the month before because I identified somebody stealing. And that was a system that somebody on my staff knew how to do. So, I mean, I got lucky, right? That was one thing that we did. So having like standard operating procedures, I was the one who was doing all the scheduling, all of the detail work. So I started delegating. I had a kitchen manager. She started being responsible for all inventory, all ordering, and then maintaining and figuring out how to sell off other things. Whereas before I was kind of involved. So again, delegating that part. So all of a sudden now I'm not as involved in those two big pieces. Excuse me. So those are easy things, right? And so I had a customer loyalty program that I was kind of using, but not really. So we went full on with that because even though that's not listed in your valuation, it is an asset, right? So that can have some sway when you transfer because your customers, if you can predict when they're coming, what they're buying, how much they spend, well, that is an asset that you could sell. I mean, that's transferable. And so I just beefed that up. I implemented this loyalty program through our computer. I printed cards. My staff put it with every check. They signed up. They got something for free, a free appetizer, free birthday, you know, that kind of thing. But all of a sudden we had data of who my customers were, how often they came in. So I had proof of something versus before where it was a little bit more willy-nilly. So it was just about getting organized, using technology, using your staff, removing yourself from the central role, right? And I was able to do that pretty quickly because I had some really great staff. So for me, my, you know, I'll give away the end story, which is my buyer was sitting at my bar. Right. He didn't know. Right. But he wasn't a business owner. He was someone who worked for a big company at a 401k, and he always dreamed of owning a bar. And he kind of overheard that I'd like to move south. I had a grandson, so on and so forth. And he offered to buy it. Now, I mean, this happens, right? Sometimes your buyer is not who you think it's going to be. So, which is why it's really important to really brainstorm who could possibly, because you never know where they are. But he was able to see the value, right? I didn't have to convince him that there was value because he was experiencing it, you know, a couple days a week, every week. Whereas my broker,
getting some of that free liquor from
the I spot. Sure was, right? Exactly. I know that one became a hard thing because when we signed papers, he didn't want me to let her go. He was going to rely on her. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not keeping her until no. So I let her go. But yeah, it's, again, it's amazing when you make, you know, as business owners, we're either caught up in the everyday, right? In survival, or we're focused on a task. And if the task is exiting or preparing to exit, it's amazing what you can do. And just by shifting one thing, the time freedom that one thing brings, so that you can do the next one and the next one, and that the assets build off of that. So, I mean, that was just my little story, but I mean, that's true for everybody.
Yeah. There, you know, there's a famous line that's going around now. A lot of coaches and implementers use it. It's called, you know, work on your business, not in your business.
Mm-hmm.
I personally struggle with that statement exactly. I mean, it sounds catchy and it makes sense, but you really have to peel that onion and decide what that is, because every case is a little bit different, I think.
Yeah, and, agreed. There's a final thought about working over the business, being just the owner, right?
I like implementing. That.
Me too.
Well, yes. And there is a logic model that says you really need to look carefully at which role you're going to provide. And this is particularly true in family-owned businesses.
Correct.
You know, if you've got other members there, are they truly owners? Are they operators? Are they investors? Or are they employees? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
And you have to draw those circles, and you have to accurately define what everybody's role really should be or could be.
Right.
And for the private business owner, that's usually a very big question that has to get resolved.
Right. I mean, I think it's Michael Gerber's book, you know, The E-Myth. Do you want to be a business owner or do you want to be Sally the pie maker? I mean, what's the role you're looking for, right? Because if you want to be the technician, you've given yourself the worst possible job because you're not going to get to enjoy that job, right? because you're going to be doing everything else.
Right.
So for me, I wanted to be a business owner. I didn't want to be a bar lady. I didn't want to be the candy lady forever. I didn't want to be the cook when people didn't show up for work. I wanted to own the business. And for me, that was clear. I just didn't know how to do it. And I also didn't have the motivation to do it, right? And sometimes you have to have the pain of being in that position that like it's enough to motivate you to do the hard things, because sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself.
Right.
But what do you call it? Perpetuates the problem, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Tracy, this has been great. We're up on a break here. We're going to take a short pause, folks. And when we come back, we're going to talk further about the idea of how you go about exiting this beautiful business that you've built. We'll be right back.
Business is all about solving complex problems as fast as you can create them. Become the best problem solver by leading others to greatness, too. And the first step is going to DougThorpe.com. Doug Thorpe is known globally for coaching entrepreneurs and business leaders, improving their performance and the work output of everyone surrounding them. You can find health, wealth, and happiness by learning to lead others to health, wealth, and happiness. Go to DougThorpe.com now and order Doug's books or hire him to coach your managers. That's Doug, T-H-O-R-P-E.com.
Well, we're back, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there. I'm talking with Tracy Gunn. We're talking about how to exit businesses. And while we were on the break, Tracy and I were chatting, and she brought up a great point about having hope. And Tracy, tie that back to your story and tell the audience what you were telling me on the break.
Oh, sure. So, I mean, the simple fact is that there's always hope to sell. You know, I hate the idea of somebody going to a broker, right? Which is your natural inclination. I want to sell, I'm going to call a broker. That's just your natural thought. And not every broker is going to give you the hopeful answer that you're expecting. Okay. And when they do that, I don't want you to feel like you've lost hope and I'll just close and liquidate, because there's always an option. There's always a way to fix it. There is a win-win out there. And whether it's you sell or finance, or you have someone earn in, or you take a little time to fix things, there is always a win-win if it's a viable business. If it's been supporting you for 20 or 30 years, it's a business that could support somebody else. And there is a person out there where you can figure out a way to make that exit work. It's just about finding the hope and knowing that it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great message, and I do hope, not to make a pun out of it, but I do hope that people listening that are maybe coming up on this situation realize that you may find yourself getting an initial set of news that is not hopeful, but to Tracy's point, there's always a good possibility and a good option out there somewhere. I know a lady here locally where I am. She ran a small private school for many, many years. It was a well-known, well-respected school, and she finally got to that retirement age and really wanted to exit. And she put it up, or she started putting out feelers in the market and was getting a lot of that negative response that she was popularly known as the amazing director of this school. And if she was going to leave, what would there be? Mm. Well, there was a lot that was going to be there. The staff and faculty was not going to change. The facility was not going to change. The materials, the curriculum, and the inventory they had created was not going to go anywhere. And she was able to make the case in point that she truly had worked on building the business to the point that while she was an administrator and she was definitely a little bit of a spirit energy in the business, the business was really running on its own and it would be okay for a buyer to come in. And it took a couple of years, but she did find somebody that was ready to bite and take it on. And
well, that's amazing. Yeah. I bet you she was happy. You know, there's something so satisfying. Like I had, I still own a candy store. And I saw somebody and said, oh, we're closing. We liquidated everything. So I sent them a message and I said, well, did you consider selling? And they're like, no, we just liquidated everything. And I thought, well, would you consider, like, it's not a done deal. You're still open. And she's like, no. And I was like, okay. She had been in business for 28 years.
Wow.
And so she just, for whatever reason, she, you know, whether she just didn't know that there were options for her. I just can't imagine if you had an option, even if it was, I'll give you $5,000, you know, over the next 20 years, it's still $5,000. I mean, it's still something and you get to see what you built continue. I think there's a lot of misinformation and worry about people who buy businesses. They're like, well, I don't want to see them destroy what I built. But nobody buys a business to kill it. I mean, that just it doesn't make any sense to do that. And so if you built something strong, there should be no reason it can't continue. And yeah, there's probably things you could do to ensure it's going to continue better. And to, especially when you remove yourself, but there's no reason to have to liquidate. Liquidation is the last, you get pennies on the dollar, and it's the end of what you built.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it always boggles.
Yeah. It's always pennies on the dollar compared to what a share value might be. Yeah.
And it's sad. It's so sad. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, small business owners are like the heroes of our country, right? They employ, they try, they risk. I mean, gosh, you know, when he said, oh, your business not worth anything. And I thought, how many birthdays and holidays and days off that I missed, right? And things with my children, all with the intent of like building something that would stand on its own, that would have value, to see it just liquidate like a fire sale. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And I, you know, if that's where you are, you know, then that's your right. And I respect that decision, but don't make that decision because you don't think there's any other options, because there are.
Go for the proverbial second opinion.
Yeah, right. And you have to think, well, let's be honest. I mean, he's a broker, and he's a businessman in his own right, and he has one purpose, right? I mean, my real estate broker is not necessarily in the business of making sure I get every penny I should get, right? Because if she's getting 3 or 6%, it doesn't really matter to her whether she gets, you know, she sells for 500 or 520. It's so marginal. She just wants the sale.
Yeah.
Right. And so that the whole deal is that, and nothing against brokers, it's just, that's their role. Their role isn't to fix the business or get you the exit you want. It's to sell the business.
Yeah. Well, I would call that go into it with eyes wide open. You know, you don't have to take the first offer you get. You don't have to take the first piece of news you get about that. And again, kudos to you for hearing that news and then turning it around and saying, no, there's some things here that broker was not seeing. I know in my gut there's value here. I just have to figure out how to stage it better and tell a stronger story about it. So I love that. I'm inclined to ask, so if you put all this experience together, what would you tell the 21, 24-year-old version of yourself about what it means to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. I would say, think about the end game. What's the end game, right? All the things, I mean, gosh, we all wish we could go back in time, right? Smarter, not harder. But we learn so much going through it, right? And we're so passionate and we're so excited, you know, and we set out on this adventure and we learn as we go. I mean, who could have predicted COVID? I mean, and being like, I had two restaurants at the time and you know, closing them down and, you know, figuring out everything and adapting and pivoting and going online and all the things you have to do in business. That's kind of what makes it fun for me, I think. Also a headache, but fun. Again, if it was a boring old business that just plodded along, I don't know that most entrepreneurs would continue. Right. They would go find something else to start, right?
Well, and I think that's what's beautiful about the entrepreneurial spirit. You're absolutely right. The whole experience going through COVID, clearly, you know, the numbers tell us there were businesses that didn't make it. There were, you know, various reasons, and everyone has its own story. But there were also a whole lot of very creative pivots, and pivot became one of the big words of 2021, as I recall. I know an entrepreneur who was selling custom bath soaps, you know, for nice. It's a luxury item, no doubt about it. And when COVID hit, they immediately had kind of a shutdown in their supply chain, and they had a backlog of a bunch of some materials that went into the soaps. And one of the owner had a staff meeting and said, anybody got any ideas of what else we could do? And somebody said, don't we have the stuff that makes hand sanitizer? Isn't that what our stuff is at its core? And they got to talking about it and researching it. And sure enough, they could make hand sanitizer in bulk when nobody else was making it. And, and that was a big demand.
A boon to them, I bet.
And it was huge. And they were selling it wholesale to big grocery stores and big box stores that were still trying to, you know, sell groceries to people. Because everybody wanted to have hand sanitizer to go buy your groceries, right? So,
she
pivoted her whole business and had a year that was about double her average year, you know, just by being creative and being smart about it and trying to look at the plus side, you know, cup half full, not half empty.
Well, I mean, it. You know, there were a lot of people who benefited that weren't necessarily shut down. There were a lot of people that benefited that were shut down. And then there were a lot of people who didn't get really a lot of help. Like the restaurant industry really had a hard time. I think maybe the airlines, but they got a lot of support too. But the restaurant industry really suffered. But, you know, when you're creative and this is the entrepreneurial spirit, right? You figure out, you see the gap and you twist and change. And that's all I'm suggesting is when you get to your exit is use that same spirit you had when you started for your exit, because there is a way. There's always a way, right? When I started my businesses, each and every one of them, I had to make it work. I didn't have all this funding so I could like play around. Every dollar mattered. Every purchase I made mattered. And so when you think about it, right, and I was clever and tried things and I was smart and I learned fast, it's the same energy just for exit, right? One was to get in, one's to get out. And I would just say, and that it's okay. You know, I always say to my clients, I'm like, you built a business from nothing. Like maybe you bought it and that's fine. You probably improved it. You learned how to integrate. You did the hard part. The hard part is making something from nothing, right? You did that hard part. This is the easy part. This is going to be the fun part because it's going to reward you and it's going to give you time freedom. Like, yay.
Nice. Nice. Well, I think that's great, Tracy. And then I think on that note, we'll probably wrap it up here, but thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they're interested in connecting offline and hearing more of the story.
Sounds great. So we're revamping a couple websites, but howtoexityourbusiness.com is the best place to like find out about what we do. We have some free worksheets on there you can get. And then also we do a free masterclass a couple times a month where you can come and just learn. It doesn't cost you anything, just to understand better how to exit, how to prepare, things to think about, things that you don't know. Because you know what? Sometimes you're forewarned is you know, forearmed. Like you just need to know these things so you can figure out where you're going from here. And then I'm Tracy Keating Gunn everywhere. So you can find me anywhere. And I'd love to talk.
Folks, we'll have all that information in the show notes here if you didn't catch it as we were going by, but it will be in the show notes. And again, Tracy, thank you so much for coming in, sitting in and sharing. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was so fun. I appreciate it. I love anytime I could talk about this, I'm always on board. So thanks for having me.
I can hear and see the passion. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Folks, I want to remind everybody, if you're listening to us on your favorite streaming audio channel, we do have a video edition of this over on YouTube at same name, Leadership Powered by Common Sense. You can look it up over there and watch our discussion here as we've had it. I encourage everybody to really think about that. You know, I'm a champion for finding common sense ideas to help businesses run more smoothly and achieve greater results. And thinking about the exit strategy is a big one. So think about what Tracy shared with us here. Take advantage of her workshop and get some notes. Find a coach or a counselor that can help you with it. And wish you nothing but the best if that's what you're facing in the next chapter in your business world. So this is it for this episode. Thank you again for listening in, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, hosted by Doug Thorpe. If you would like to know more about the coaching and advisory services he provides, visit DougThorpe.com.